All right, so tonight I'm going to discuss a couple of things all within the words the Sein Tal Umatar Livracha. So the first point I want to discuss is the difference between clause 1 of this bracha and clause 2, which is that the beginning of the bracha says Bareich Alinu Hashem Elokeinu. It's the more direct Bareich Alinu, bless us, Bareich Alinu Hashanah, bless the year, as opposed to the second part is V'sein Bracha, V'sein Talamata Livracha, V'sein Bracha Al Pnei Ha'adama, is to place a, is for Hashem to give a bracha or place a bracha. Maybe we'll talk about one other possible understanding of what it could mean, but there's in the beginning of the bracha, we say that Hashem should bless, and now we say He should give a bracha. So what's the distinction between the beginning and the end of the bracha? Why the change of the language, the phrasing of the way in which this bracha is administered? So the Avnei Eliyahu, in your comments, the Gra, says, the Vilna Gaon says something very similar along the same lines in his commentary to Mishlei, in the underpinnings of the same idea. He says in Mishlei, the pasuk Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz konin shemayim bitvuna. So the Avnei Eliyahu, he points out this difference, that the beginning says Bareich, and then later in the bracha it says V'sein Bracha. So he says that this can be understood starting with understanding a pasuk. The pasuk says, Hashamayim shamayim l'ashem, v'ha'aretz nasan livnei adam. Says that shamayim belongs to Hashem, and the aretz was given to Bnei Adam. So Nasan, first of all, aside from just the distinction that Shemaim still belongs to Hashem and Aretz seems to have been given, but points out that Nas, it's not Nosein Livnei Adam. It's not that Hashem gives the land to Bnei Adam, but Nasan, Hashem gave the Aretz to Bnei Adam. So Nasan is Lashon Avar, it's past tense, it's a gave, it already happened. So it's the same thing you find Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz, that Hashem with chachma, He laid the foundation, He set down the aretz. Konein shamayim bitvuna. He is konein, establishes, or He sets up the shamayim bitvuna with tvuna, with bina, with understanding. So you have the same thing that aretz was yasad, is done past tense, that's something that already happened, as opposed to Shemayim, he's Konein Shemayim. Shemayim is present tense, it's something that's seemingly an ongoing process. So, Aretz, land, you know, Olam Hazeh, so to speak, at the time of creation, was set and established with Chachma. That's what it says, Hashem b'chachma yasad Aretz, such that Adam, man, can come and can work the land and can build upon it, can extract from the land and develop the land. The land is given over to man, and man has the ability then to take it and to use it, to build it and to develop it. Chachma, the idea of Chachma is, I believe we discussed this when we talked about what Chachma and Bina are, when we talked about the bracha of Atachonin. But the idea of Chachma is something which is set. Something is Chachma is the firm, the ground layer foundation of something. Chachma is the two. As opposed, as we go through in the pasuk, as opposed to Shemayim, Shemayim is maintained by Hashem in an ongoing way. Shemayim is constantly, is concept of ongoing, the dynamic. That's what Shemayim represents, and Hashem is mesader es hakochavim. Hashem is constant. He's arranging the stars, the constellations. That's an ongoing process. It says this konein Shemayim bitvuna. That Shemayim is done with tvuna, with bina. Bina is the idea of Maven Davar Mitoch Davar. Bina is the idea of understanding one thing from another, taking the information that you have and developing it. And that's why the word Bina and the word Bone, which means to build, is very related to the idea of Bina, because when the process of Bina is the process of building on the information that you have. So the conceptually, so to speak, somewhat the distinction between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav is a Bechina, is kind of at the aspect of Chachma. Torah Shebichsav is, Ein Shem Navi Rashai L'Chadesh Davar, at the point at which the Chumash was set and written down, no one's allowed to add anything. Chumash stays as it is. There's several of the Ikrim of the Rambam about the constant nature of the Torah, that the Torah will not be changed. So the status of Torah Shebichsav is that it's constant, it is what it is. It's the foundation, it's the, so to speak, the raw material, but it is what it is. There's no changing it. There's nothing that it doesn't, you never edit the Torah. The Torah Shebichsav never gets altered, never gets updated, never gets added to. It is what it is. As opposed to Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebal Peh is taking the Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebal Peh is also not, it is rooted in the Torah Shebichsav, in the written Torah, but the Torah Shebal Peh is the develop, is building on the Torah Shebichsav. It's applying chiddush when you innovate an idea within the Torah. You're extracting an idea from within the Torah, but you're creating something that is, so to speak, new. When you come with a chiddush in the Torah, you might be revealing something which is latent within the text, but you're building it out. You're pulling it out of the text. You're building that. That's something that you're mechadesh, and that's the level of shamayim. That's the level of the spiritual world, is the level of developing something new. So that's the aretz, the level of aretz, the level of the physical, is the conceptual level of chachma. And that's ha'aretz, and nasam livnei adamim. It's in the past tense. It's something that happened already. It's said and done. It's static. As opposed to shamayim is the spiritual, is the mechadesh betuvo b'chol yom tamid masader es ha'kochavim. Shamayim is this level, is the level which is still, so to speak, in Hashem's domain, right? That Aretz is also, obviously, God is in control, but that Aretz was given over to us. And that's something that now we have. So when it comes to, that's what the Avnei Eliyahu says. So I to just try and understand what that means, how to then take that and apply it to the bracha. When it comes to the shana, when it comes to the year. The year, Hashem is mevarich directly. Hashem blesses the year directly. The events of the year, the hashpaos and the mazel, the spiritual energy, the spiritual influences which come from Shemayim. So that's something that's the spiritual energy that affects the year, which we spoke about a few classes ago. The idea that the shana represents the spiritual state of that year. It's on a general, broad sense, the level of that cycle of time, of this iteration of the cycle of the Jewish year is represented. It's a spiritual state, and that's why the Maharal we quoted says that the lashon shana from the lashon shinoi, because every year changes and is different and brings about change, because every year has its own madrega, its own level, its own spiritual state. So that shinoi, that change, right? That's what the shana represents, is that change. That's something that only exists in the spiritual level. That's something that that's development and dynamic. That's shamayim. That's what comes from shamayim. And that's why it's bareich has ashana azosa, that Hashem bestows the bracha, instills the bracha directly from shamayim when it comes to the shana, to the shinoi, to change, to development, to the spiritual energy which comes into the world and which is particular and unique to this point in history, that comes from Shamayim, and therefore that's Barich Es Hashana. That's directly Hashem is blessing it. However, the Adama, so Hashem, so to speak, puts the bracha. He superimposes the bracha on it. He gives the bracha, or he sends the bracha, and the bracha is not, it's not directly, so to speak, Hashem is making that bracha happen, but the bracha is given from Hashem, and then we, who have the Aretz is now under our control, so we bring out that bracha, we apply that bracha. The bracha is given from Hashem, but the bracha is superimposed onto the Aretz, onto the same bracha, to give the bracha. It's not Bareich Es HaAdama, it's not bless the Adama, it's same bracha al HaAdama, to put a bracha on the Adama. It is, so to speak, superimposed, because the Adama is as it what we have, it's already ours, and therefore Hashem has to give the bracha to us, and we are the ones who apply that to the Adama. The word tain, or the word nasan, has another meaning, which is obviously very conceptually linked to the meaning of give, but you find people who speak English as a second language often use the word give for this to mean allow, right? The pasuk says v'lo nasan sichon es b'nei Yisrael avar arzo, that sichon did not allow b'nei Yisrael to pass through their land, is lo nasan sichon as b'nei Yisrael avor. They didn't give them to go, means they didn't allow them to go. So the word tain, the word nason, can also mean to allow, and accordingly could understand the line that Hashem allows the bracha on the Adama. When it comes to the Shana, Hashem makes the bracha. Hashem is mevarich es Hashana, and the bracha comes directly from Shemaim. When it comes to the Adama, when it comes to the Aretz, so that Hashem allows the bracha on the Adama. We do the hishtadlus, we put in our effort, and Hashem enables the bracha, Hashem allows the bracha to come through, to take effect. But it starts from us, because the Adama is ours. The Adama was Aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. Hashem b'chachma yasad Aretz. That was something, the Adama was given to us, and we developed that. So Hashem allows our efforts to be successful, but it starts from our efforts. The Shamayim is, so to speak, the Isaru, the inspiration, that's directly from Hashem, Barich Aleinu. But the Aretz represents our side of the story, represents our input, represents the effort that we put into it, because Aretz is ours to develop. So there, the bracha is allowed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it comes through our efforts. It's not something which is inherently there. We put in the effort, we invest, we work the land, we develop, and we plant. And after all of that, then Hashem allows the bracha, allows the growth, allows the success that comes through the Adama. And there is the same bracha that Hashem gives the bracha, He allows the bracha, it's something which is not so to speak, as conceptually directly coming from Shemayim into the land. It's something that comes only that comes from us, because the land is ours. I wanted to talk about something that we actually discussed before, but this is really the primary place to talk about it, so I wanted to discuss it again here now. So I apologize if this is somewhat of a repetition, but this part, the same tal umatar livracha, so the words tal umatar, we say them for part of the year, and we don't say them for part of the year. We say them from Sukkot until a month or so after Sukkot, or in America from December 4th/5th until Pesach, and then in the summer from Pesach until Sukkot, until shortly after Sukkot, so we stop saying it. So the Gemara says that the reason for that is because you only want to ask for the rain and the time when it's going to be, when it's the correct time for rain. Even the praise for rain in the first bracha when we say Mashiv Ruach, even the praise for rain, the Gemara says it's really only appropriate to praise Hashem for the rain at the time when the rain is present, but particularly the request for rain. So rain has only certain times of the year, certain parts of the year where it's appropriate to ask for rain, because rain is only helpful at certain times of the year. But at certain times of the year, rain is, at certain times of the year, it's just not helpful, it's useless. But at certain times of the year, rain is detrimental. That's the basic idea of why we don't ask for, this request is seasonal, because the bracha of rain, that which rain is a bracha, is seasonal. Rain is only a bracha at certain parts of the year. I wanted to take a step further about the significance, about what the idea behind that, the lesson in that. Geshem, rain, is the medium of chesed. It's really quite an appropriate mashal. It's the giving from shamayim to aretz. Rain is the medium through which something comes from heaven and comes down to the earth. And not only that, but rain is it's not just something which comes from heaven and comes down to earth, but it's something that comes from heaven and comes down to earth and causes growth. It comes to the earth and causes bracha, brings out the fruit, brings out the growth, brings out the potential which is latent in the earth, in the ground. But at the same time, rain could be a flood. Too much rain can be a flood, right? Right now we're getting a lot of that in the news. But rain could be at the wrong season. It could be something. Rain could be it comes at the wrong time, and it makes it difficult to take care of the land, because the land gets soggy, and if it's harvest season and the crops are still on the ground, the rain makes the ground wet and gets muddy, and it can actually cause the crops, to the produce, to rot before it's harvested. So rain, on the one hand, is the medium of tremendous bracha, is the essential ingredient for growth. You can't produce anything without rain. You have irrigation, but the symbolically, rain is the ultimate symbol of Hashem's chesed. The Ramban says that's the idea. In the pasuk says that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz lo b'miskinos tochel lechem, Eretz asher. I don't remember exactly the words of the pasuk, but the pasuk says that Eretz Yisrael is a land where it doesn't have streams flow. It's not like Eretz Mitzrayim, where you watered it with your feet. The Ramban says in Eretz Mitzrayim, so the Nile once a year, or however often it was, the Nile would overflow, and they would water everything from the Nile. And even when the Nile didn't overflow, but the Nile was a pretty consistent source of water, as opposed to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is not a place that you water it with your feet, that you just, the water's on the water's there, and you just have to spread it around. Eretz Yisrael is a land that relies on the rain, and the Ramban says that's the symbolic of the relationship that Eretz Yisrael represents, that the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that you're relying on a Kadosh Baruch Hu to take care of you directly. That's what the rain represents. If you're counting on the rain, you're really depending on Hashem that the rain should come. So the Eretz Yisrael is the rain represents this idea of the relation, of the reliance on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a Kadosh Baruch Hu providing. That's what rain is. But at the same time, rain at the wrong time can be the idea of chesed. Chesed is not always a good thing. That we say in the first bracha Shmona Esrei, Gomel Chasadim Tovim, that Hashem does good chesed. So bestows good chesed. So we talked a couple of different understandings of that idea, but the simplest level, there's such a thing as good chesed and there's bad chesed. The Torah describes certain types of arayos, of inappropriate relationships, as chesed, right? Ki chesed hi. Simple, you know, analogy. You can, it's a big chesed to do all of your son's math homework. It's a really big chesed until he has to take the test, and he doesn't know any of it himself because you were so helpful to him and let him go outside and play every day that he didn't, you know, he didn't learn how to do anything himself. So it was very nice of you, but it really wasn't a good. It really wasn't a beneficial chesed. So the rain in the right time is the source of tremendous bracha, but at the same time, rain at the wrong time is the source of not just lack of bracha, but even of klala, detrimental, of destruction. So in Sefer Shmuel, so the beginning of the Sefer, the Jewish people do not yet have a king, and Shmuel is the Navi, and he's guiding the people, and they decide that they want to have a king, and they ask Shmuel for a king, and Shmuel gets very upset at them, and he tells them that they're doing the wrong thing, and he tells them all kinds of bad things that are going to happen because of the king, and the people persist, and they say that so Shmuel appoints for them a king. Shmuel selects a king for them. So then the whole story progresses, and then when it comes to the point of the inauguration of the king, so Shmuel rebukes the Jewish people and tells them how what they've done is a terrible thing. And Shmuel then, to teach them a lesson, he says, "Behold, it's the harvest season. Let's see if it doesn't rain." And then it rains. So the basic question on the story is that there's a mitzvah in the Torah to appoint a king. So different Rishonim understand whether or not that's a mitzvah saseh, or it's if you do appoint a king, this is how you should do it, or it's a concession, or whatever it is. But the Rambam says appointing a king is one of the three steps in the process of building the Beis HaMikdash. It's first appoint a king, and then destroy Amalek, and then build the Beis HaMikdash. So appointing a king seems to be a very important part of the process. So when the Jewish people ask for a king, so what did they do wrong? What they did wrong was in the way that they asked and what they were really asking for. When the Jewish people asked for a king, so maybe first we should start with what a king represents. The idea of a king, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but the idea of a king, or the idea of malchus in Judaism, is the idea, what the king does, the king, when he comes into rule, so the king doesn't bring his own treasure chest into the palace and start, you know, just doing things with his own money. The king comes in charge of the nation. He takes all of the resources that are there in the nation, but that which they cannot do on their own, that which as a ragtag assembly of individuals, they're not going to field an army. They're not going to build roads and bridges. That's not going to happen because everybody has their own resources, and it takes a lot of organization. It takes pulling together to really do that kind of thing. What the king does is the king brings the nation together, and he utilizes their potential. He utilizes their resources to bring out that which they really, you know, the potential is from them, but they didn't really have the ability to bring out that potential to produce based on what they have. What the king does is he unites them and he puts them together. But the king, he brings the people up. When the king, the idea of a Jewish king, what a king is supposed to do, is the king is meant to turn them from a group of people into the Am Hashem. He makes them into a nation. There's the without the king, they are individuals. When the king comes, they are, when there's someone who is bringing them together, they're now united. They now become a people. They now become a nation. And so the king is supposed to elevate them and turn them into a people and bring out their potential and make them into something more than what they were before. That's the idea of the Midah of Malchus, the sphere of Malchus represents all of the other Midos, all of the other Spheros represent some Koach, some faculty, some idea, And Malchus is what brings all of those out into fruition, what causes those to be manifest, to come into something real. That's the Midah of Malchus. That's why in the Pasuk it says, the Pasuk we say when we take out the Torah, L'cha Hashem, HaGedula, V'Agvura, V'Atiferes, V'Netzef, V'Hod, Kol V'Shamayim Ba'aretz, is the first six of the Spiros. And then you have L'cha Hashem HaMamlacha, in its own category, separated off. The first six are L'cha Hashem, and it lists them. And then it says L'cha Hashem again, and says HaMamlacha. Because the idea of Malchus is not just one more Midah, but it's separate from the rest, and it is that which takes the rest of them and brings them out. That's why Malchus is always, or not always, but very often, almost always, at the end of a list. And Yishtabach, at the end of the list of the 13 Midos there, is Kedusha Umalchus, right? In Nishmas and Shabbos, right? Heinheim Yodavi Varchu Yishavchu Yaritu Yagdishu Veyamlichu Hashem Chamalkenu. Malchus is always at the end of the list because Malchus comes after everything is there and takes what's there and brings it out. It works on what is there, acts on what's there and brings it out. That's the idea of a melech, is bringing out the potential that's there, is bringing out the koach, the ability that's already there, and bringing it up and elevating it and turning it into something more. And that's what a melech is supposed to be. The king is supposed to be the one who brings the people up, unites them, and turns them into, from a group of individuals, into the Am Hashem. They're able to represent Shem Shemayim in the world because through the melech. That's why it's first appoint a king and then destroy Amalek. Because it's by their ability to represent Shem Shemayim in the world, right, that they can then combat Amalek, who is, right, ki yad al kes ka. The Medrash says that the milchama ba'amalek says yad al kes ka in a kisei shalom ve'in a shem shalom. The name of Hashem is only yud hey, because Amalek, so to speak, covers up, hides part of Hashem's name. That Hashem's name is incomplete as so long as there's Amalek. Once klal Yisrael, once you have a melech, so then they can represent Shem Shemayim in the world, then you can combat Amalek. And after that, then you can build the base of Migdash. Then you can bring Hashem into this world. That's the idea of what a melech represents, is it's creating something, he's bringing, making them into a nation that brings Hashem into the world. But what did the Jewish people say to Shmuel? They said, appoint for us a king like all of the other nations. They looked at all the nations around them. All the nations around them don't have prophets leading them. They don't have theocracies. They have a king. They have a monarchy, somebody who's leading. We want to have a king to be just like all the other nations. So says Shmuel, let me show you what your mistake is. And Shmuel says, I'm going to make it rain at the time of the harvest. Right, the crops are still in the ground, and I'm going to make it rain. And he makes it rain, and the people all cry, and they say that we've sinned. Because Shmuel was showing them, it's meant to bring you up. It's meant, the idea of a melech, it's something that brings out your potential, that causes you to become something more. It causes growth, and you've turned it into something which is bringing you down. Not only is it not bringing you more into the Am Hashem, but you're using it to be less distinct. You're using it to be like all of the other nations. You're taking that which is meant to be the source of tremendous bracha, and you're turning it into something which is detrimental, which is lowering you, which is bringing you down. And therefore, that was the lesson of the rain. The rain, in the right time, the rain is a source of tremendous bracha. The rain is the source of tremendous growth. It's a fundamental ingredient of growth. But at the wrong time, brings the rain in the harvest season when everything is still sitting out in the field, and it causes destruction. It doesn't, not only does not cause growth, but it brings, it destroys, it degrades that which is there. And that was the lesson that Shmuel was telling them, that what you are doing is the same thing as rain in the wrong season. You're taking something which is the potential for tremendous growth, and you're turning into something destructive. You're turning into something which brings you down. And that is the lesson behind, the meaning behind that which we only say this bakasha, this request, in certain times of year, because this is something which is only a bracha during in the proper time and place, in the proper context, used in the right way. It's a tremendous bracha, but it comes at the wrong time, and you have to repeat Shemona Esrei if you ask for rain in the wrong season, because it's not just that you did something unnecessary, but rain in the wrong time is detrimental. Rain in the wrong time is destructive, and therefore you haven't just added something irrelevant into your Shemona Esrei, you've ruined your Shemona Esrei because you've added something detrimental into the bracha. You added something which is in the place. I don't know if we'll have time to finish the next thought, but maybe we'll just start it. There's the difference between matar and geshem. There are two words for rain. One word is geshem, and one word is matar. So the difference between matar and geshem, so the Rabbeinu Bechaye in Dvarim, in Parshas Ekev, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, so the Rabbeinu Bechaye there brings a machlokis in the Gemara and Maseches Tainis, that there's a machlokis there between, I believe, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, I think, that the Gemara asks, where does the rain come from? And one of them, Rabbi Yossi, says that the entire world is shosem yimei ukainus, that the world get the water comes from the ocean. The water comes from the rain comes from the water that's on the earth, and Rabbi Yehuda says that the rain comes from the mayim, which is me'al shamayim, that it comes from shamayim. So the Rabbeinu Bechaye says that in this machlokas, there's an elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim. They're both really correct, and there are two types of rain. It says that there is mayim elyonim and mayim tachtonim. There is the upper rain, the heavenly rain, and then there's the lower rain. There's the this worldly rain. This is the Rabbeinu Bechaye says the elyonim, the heavenly rain, is the rain which is called matar. So it's lamatar hashamayim tishdemayim. The pasuk in the brachos and in Kriyas Shema, say ve'atzar es hashamayim velo yeh matar, right? Matar is the heavenly rain, the rain that comes that's spiritual from shamayim. On the other hand, you have the tachtonim, the lower water, the lower rain is geshem, from a lashon of gashmius, something which is physical. That's the other rain is there's rain which comes from, which is physical rain, which is more this worldly rain. It's a very similar line. The Malbim says that geshem is tivi, is more natural, is more normal, as opposed to matar is hashgachi, is the rain of hashgacha, is the rain of providence, the rain of the rain of divine providence. There's a matar, is related to the word matara, right? That's a purpose or a goal. That matar is the rain of bracha, is the rain that serves a purpose and brings a bracha, right? Like that says in the haftara that we read on the afternoon of a fast, we say that that Dvar Hashem is lo yashuv reka. You say that the rain, it leaves, it comes down to the earth, and it's v'shama lo yashuv ki im hirves aretz v'nasan zer lazorea v'lechem la'ochal, right? That the rain, it comes from shamayim, and it's not just gonna come down here. It's gonna water the land, and it's gonna cause the seeds to sprout and grow and produce bread and end up with something to eat. That the rain that comes from Shemayim serves a matara. It has a purpose. It reaches a destination, and that's the Dvar Hashem is lo yashuv reikam. That's the rain of hashgacha, the rain of Shemayim. That's the rain of bracha. That's the rain which produces a tremendous bracha. As opposed to the rain of aretz, the rain of this world. It's just It happens. It's part of the way the world works. It's part of teva. It's not necessarily going to be libracha. And therefore, when in this bracha, we specifically ask the same tal umatar. We ask is the source of bracha. Matar is the rain of hashgacha. It comes from shamayim. Is the rain which produces bracha. And that's specifically the rain we ask for is the rain of matar. The rain that serves a matara, that serves a purpose, that reaches its destination. Which again, going back to what we described, is the theme of this bracha, is really not just the fact that there is such a thing as bracha, but that the bracha reaches us. And we said Barich Aleinu, because the theme of the bracha is that the bracha doesn't just exist, but that it actually manifests and reaches us and comes to us in a meaningful way, and therefore it's the same matar. We're specifically saying that we should have the rain which reaches its destination and causes its purpose. Therefore, we specifically ask the same matar livra. All right.